Foxes fans, and welcome back to another edition of the U.S. Foxes podcast. Coming to you live as always from various time zones around the United States. I, as always, am your host, Matt Folks, coming to you from beautiful San Diego, California, looking at a gorgeous sunset over the Pacific right now. I wish you were here to see it with me, but I am joined this evening by two of my amazing co-hosts, one of them just 20 minutes north of here in Del Mar, California, Mr. Chris Warner. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, not too bad, buddy. Not too bad. Sun's out again, so I can't complain. Been a good few days. Nice to see you at the weekend. And looking forward to a couple of fun activities, I think, over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely, yeah. And the time change, too. That's what I'm most getting at, because we're recording this at 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's, you know, still sunny out. So I'm loving that, or at least the sun is setting. So sun is, I'm assuming, down in Texas. There's like a song about that, isn't there, Jim?
Yes, there are the stars at night are not bright because of light pollution here in Houston.
Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's 9 o'clock here, and I know we're doing a bit of a later one in both time and also not doing a few recently. You know, life gets in the way for all of us.
Yeah. Sorry for our newer listeners that might be your first experience with us taking a little extended few days than normal off. That just tends to happen, guys. We all got full-time jobs. Some of us just became an American citizen, so we've been getting, you know, bald eagle tattoos on our chest. How's that healing up, by the way, Jim?
Come on.
So yeah, guys, thank you for hanging with us, and we have so much to freaking talk about. That's why I'm titling this one the State of the Union. It feels appropriate after watching President Biden's speech the other night, that we kind of got the same shit going on right now with Lester, with whether it's the finances, whether it is, you know, us doing Lester things and making this, you know, point race way tighter than it needs to be or needed to be, because we are at the point now with leads just 3 points behind us. So we've got plenty. Luckily, the women continue to kick ass, so we do have that going on, which is good news. But we will dive right into it, guys. Our last show, we came to you right after that Bournemouth win, and, you know, we were riding high. This was going to be the trampoline that sprung us into, you know, the team that we were going to finish the season with. And we were so excited. And then we walk in and shit down our leg at home against QPR in just embarrassing fashion. Just a game that was just so horrible to watch. I'll send it to Chris first, as I know you'd only join us for a limited amount of time tonight. So I want to get your opinions on as much as possible. What do you think about that big QPR diaper?
Yeah, Matt, it's funny you mentioned President Biden's speech. One of the things that I always enjoy about that is the first words always are the State of the Union is. And so I just thought I'd do it for myself. And I'd be like, I think if I'm summing up Leicester at this moment in time, I'd say the State of the Union is shaky. I think we're shaky across all fronts at this moment in time. I mean, the QPR performance, yeah, coming off grinding a win out at Sunderland and then having the QPR game at home with the way QPR have been struggling this year. You thought that it was an opportunity again just to get 3 points, keep that lead, keep that cushion. But I mean, we've been Leicester fans long enough to know that we don't do these things easy. And you're right. It was just a really disappointing performance. I mean, the stats would suggest that, and we did dominate. But when I think back to that game, I don't think of the clear-cut chance. I just don't think of the chances that we continued to have, and it just is one of those games where I sum it up and just think we played awful and maybe didn't deserve to get anything out of that game. And that's not what you need at this point in the season. Like, we can't be giving up points to teams in the bottom half, especially, as you said, now with Leeds only three behind, Ipswich up there. It's now a three-horse race, and I mean, gone of the days of HMS Piss the League that we joked about in December. Like, that ship has well and truly sunk and is probably next to the Titanic somewhere in the Atlantic. And yeah, it's now about who wants it more as we go to these last 10 games.
No, I like the way that you started out with the State of the Union is part. It's perfect because if I had to do mine, I would say the State of the Union is Leicester. Because man, if we don't find a way to just do this every fucking time, it's just unbelievable to me. It is, you know, we all year long we watched other teams go through their little spurts of shit play and wondered, you know, when that was going to happen. So just so happens that we saved it for the most nerve-wracking part of the season, Jim.
That's right. We don't make it easy for ourselves towards the end of ever. The season. No. One would like maybe proffer and say we're the most Leicester team possible. Oh wait, that's probably because we are Leicester. But if you think about the form, you know, Chris, as you said, we've kind of had a bit of a, you know, a pretty disappointing loss to QPR, where I think we all agree we didn't really offer much. You know, they had what, 3 shots, 2 went in, the soft defending for the goals again. Again, that sort of high line, but then diving in and getting caught out for the goals. Certainly for the first one, getting caught on the break. I think then, you know, we have a bit of an up with, in fact, a sort of a bit of a reverse, right, with Sunderland, a grinding out 1-0 win where, you know, we really did, I think, show some grit. We showed some determination and, I think Connor Cody had a really good game. Hermanson had a really good game. And I think Connor Cody, after his Bournemouth performance and after his performance against Sunderland, I think we were kind of a little bit like, oh, okay. Is he going to start against Hull? Because he didn't play against QPR. We looked a bit, you know, Nelson played. He was, you know, he was okay. He probably the best defender out of the three, I think.
Scores his first goal too. Shout out.
Yep, scores his first goal, and then you know I think it's a little bit surprising for me when I looked at the team sheet that there was no Cody, and I think what we've seen is like Wout Fass has kind of gone back to what we sort of saw a bit last season of diving in, losing his head a bit, and sort of positionally not being great. I think we saw that a little bit earlier in the season too, and then he had a good spell. And I think we're kind of getting caught out and defensive mistakes or poor defending is costing us really heavily right now. And it's not looking like there's much confidence at the other end of the field as well.
It's weird. I do think, you know, seeing Vards now jumping past QPR and, you know, looking at Sunderland and getting that, I mean, you know, holy crap. Had we not pulled that one out and, of course, made it nervy as shit and everyone is, you know, sitting on the edge of their seat. And to get that one pulled out and a nice Vardy goal there, then 2 more, you know, against Hull. To see him scoring again is just such a, you know, good thing. So I will say that we are seeing that, but I'm with you in the fact that how many fucking chances are we going to miss this year? Like we're finding ways that where it's harder to miss actually than it is to score. So I don't know, Chris, what are your thoughts? Are you kind of with Jim?
I am. I think also one thing I'm starting to get a bit frustrated by is I remember back to the beginning of the season and the way that Enzo would consistently change from week to week. One of the things I think we were talking about on this podcast was often the fact that it would be nice at some point to see a bit of consistency in the side, but that seems to have disappeared. And I wonder whether that is also because Enzo is down on confidence and he's struggling at this moment in time. And yes, I know we've not necessarily had the players, but to Jim, as Jim pointed out really nicely, like players like Cody and like Nelson, who have had decent enough games the previous game, why aren't we keeping them in the side? Like, why are we reverting to chalk right now, similar to as we used to lament under Rodgers, that was just always so frustrating? I mean, to your guys' point, I thought Faust at the weekend was absolutely awful. I mean, I think he was at fault numerous occasions, put us in predicaments at those times. And it's like, I think we shouldn't lose. We need to be confident going into these last 10 games, because if we're not, to your point, Matt, those chances, the difference between hitting it straight at the keeper, sticking it in the corner or inches, and often rely on the confidence of the players on the field. And so, yeah, I'm a little bit frustrated in the way that we're approaching these games from a tactical and position and personnel standpoint, and just hope over the next 2 weeks we can kind of level set and have a break, have a rest, and refocus.
Yeah, we go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
No, go, Matt.
No, I was going to say, I was trying to remember, Chris, who we yelled about the most on Saturday, whether it was Foss or Mavadidi, because he had a damn stinker as well.
Probably both, but I suppose with Steffi, like, when he makes a mistake, yes, you go, bloody hell, but he's not losing the ball on the edge of the area and giving them the ball. I think that's why Faust's mistakes just lead to massive consequences. Getting frustrated.
Although Steffi gave away the foot penalty, thankfully Hermansson saved. And I think I'm sure I was like you guys, when that penalty was given, you know, you kind of saw it coming in a way. It was like, oh God. And to your point, guys, like Mavadidi is off the boil, and that penalty was through frustration. I think the number of times he looked for a foul and he didn't get it because he was just holding onto the ball too long. We've talked about this before. And then he was getting aggressively tackled, but I don't think they were fouls. Earlier in the game anyway. And he just, you could see him kind of like nothing was coming off for him, not even getting a call from the ref. And therefore, you know, he sort of ran back and he was chasing back and, you know, for the penalty. But I don't think Vestergaard covered himself in glory for that penalty either, because that was where he should have been coming over and closing off the attacker, who just ran straight in a straight line. And, you know, gave it away. And I think when that save happened from the penalty, I think we probably all thought, massive let off. All right, how do we get back from that? This is the wake-up call. And then immediately they score to a soft goal, you know, as you said, Chris, from a fast error who wasn't really kind of at the races. And then I think throughout that game, you know, especially, you know, he made the change and he took off Yunus at halftime, but Yunus looked absolutely knackered. And Wilf came on, and I don't think Wilf had like the greatest game, but he's just coming back. He didn't look match fit, but he was all right. But the biggest surprise for me was when we got back to 2-2, and I think we were kind of marginally the better team and we started making some chances. We had more chances. He didn't make any subs. And I think, like, as you both said, like, that's the sort of Rodgers frustration that we had, which is do something with the game. Like, we were praising, you know, Enzo at the start, as you said, Chris, of like game management and mixing up the team. And Matt, you said it too. And we're like, okay. And now it seems like, well, these are my guys and I'm going to trust them. And I think a huge blind spot on Fass and a huge blind spot with Mavadidi keeping him on. Especially after, and we talked before the show, Cannon came and had that cameo against Borough and got us back and helped us get, you know, the equalizer. And again, like you said, Cody had a good game and a really good game. He's had a really good game throughout, I think, his appearances. And I think before the season, we thought Cody's the lock until he got injured, right?
Yeah.
And I just was so surprised that he's like sticking with kind of like fast. He's sticking, you know, just give Steffi a break. We had on the bench, we had Wanya Marcel and we had Tom Cannon, who could have both gone and played left wing. And we had Mark Albrighton. I don't think Albrighton was the call, to be honest, to go on the left wing, because I think we needed some more pace and a bit more.
Also, when was the last time that he played left wing? I can't even put it in my head.
When we won the league. Because since we had,
yeah, honestly, though, I think that's what you might be right.
Yeah, well, the seasons after when we, you know, basically when we until we lost Riyad, I think, and then he kind of went over,
but Rashid Ghazal,
exactly. Yeah, maybe, but I think the Cannon's performance to me was really good and impactful. Marcel had a good game when he played as well in the cup recently, So why are we not giving them a chance and like using the subs and taking off a guy who's clearly at, needs to be hooked from the game for his own kind of sanity?
Yeah, I just hope that it's not tantrum stuff like, you know, we saw from Rodgers, and it's not, you know, Enzo trying to send a message, because frankly, this is not the time of year to send the message. It's all been done, and this is what we've got to deal with.
What message are you sending when you're top of the league?
Exactly.
Pressure affects us all, though, doesn't it? And obviously, as much as he on the outside appears to be cool and collected, you have seen it more recently that he has started to show a little bit more emotion on the sidelines. And so, pressure can sometimes shut you down. And therefore, it's as much about the coaches around him as well that can offer that ear and offer that sense of direction that we're going to need. Because, I think you bang on, Jim. Like, you look at that bench, you could see there was options that we could have brought on. I think the fact of the matter, the state of the pitch, the fact that we were trying to play and it was just muddy and there was barely any grass, like, and the only changes we made were we brought on a guy, as you said, Jim, who wasn't and isn't 100% match fit, and was even said on Tuesday that he shouldn't have come on, but we needed him, so he came on the pitch. And then just to make a switch in the 86th minute to bring off Vardy and put Docker on, we've got to do more than that. We've got to do more than that to try and win this league.
Yeah, I thought immediately, I was just praying. I can't be the only one that was just like, please don't get hurt. Yeah, because, you know, with that pitch and watching him run around out there after just coming back, I was just praying that nobody, you know, it was a lot of the same. It was nowhere nearly as bad for those of you that watched USA Canada in the women's Gold Cup semifinal. It was nothing like that. But I had my brain was doing a lot of the same shit where, guys, just please stay healthy. No one get hurt here.
Yeah. I thought Fatawu had a good game. Like, he was really, you could see, like, trying everything. Really working hard after he had a kind of, I think, was it the QPR game where he didn't have a good game? I'm trying to remember. Like, we were talking about recently, he was off the boil a bit, but maybe it was previously when we did our last pod. I really hope that, look, we knew we were going to have a blip, and I think hopefully this is the other side of the blip now. And I'm hoping that Enzo kind of takes some time. He's not been the number one, but he's been at the business end of seasons to close them out, you know, or, you know, with Man City. Like, you hope he calls, you know, Pep and says, hey, what do I do to get this, like, turn this around? Like, calls on his experience. I hope that, you know, Vardy kind of chimes up, and some of the experienced players who have been there and can help the squad as well.
Connor Cody did this exact, when the Wolves came up, you know, they had a little hiccup at the end of their season that they had to see through. So I'm with you. He needs to rely at this point on players with the experience, you know, with the balls that have done this shit before, and just say, let's, you know, have the humility to ask for help.
Hopefully it's not Harry Winks' Spursiness like permeating through the team and we're going to come third. I don't think I could take that. That's a joke, by the way. You know, Harry Winks been outstanding all season. But I do think that, you know, maybe some of the off the field stuff is impacting and bleeding in, the worry. I know Enzo sort of said, you know, that he's not affecting him, and it's he's just getting on and focused on the games, which I think is the luxury of having a coach. I think also, as like James Justin in the interview after the game on Saturday sounded pretty pissed off. Like, but I think Vardy sort of, for me in his interview, it was on Radio Leicester on Monday, was, you know, he wasn't happy, but he's like, but it's a point, and you know, that's good. And I was like, oh, you just say like, no, we're not happy. But I guess they're kind of just got to keep the mentality of let's keep going. You know, to be fair, Hull seemed like a pretty decent team. You know, they played some nice football on the crap pitch.
Yeah, that's like, a playoff team. for sure.
Yeah, Filler Jean. All I could think of is Billy Jean. I'm sure that's his chant, but he looks like a really good player. I think when we all saw Carvalho coming up to be available for loan, I think we talked about it like, oh, wow, just imagine we got him. Like, imagine we had him when we lost Cassaday. Like, I think we would have been we would not be having this conversation right now. And so, you know, and they, you know, they've made some good signings. You know, they talked about how this is a slightly different team from the team we played. And actually lost 1-0 to Argaff. So, you know, and I think Rossini is a pretty good player. And he, I think, again, Hull showed, like, if you press hard and you're aggressive against us, we like, struggle a little bit, to be honest. So I think that's something, hopefully, that, you know, Maresca thinks about. You know, we've got a little break now in terms of league matches. I know that, or we all know that Leeds are playing this weekend. And so if Leeds win, you know, by, you know, a goal or more, or at least more than a goal, they're top of the league. So maybe that's a kick in the butt we need. I'd rather we weren't. I'd rather Leeds lost and Ipswich lose. At least we come out the other side on top of the league. That would be massive psychological blow for our rivals, right? If we stay top of the league out through the break. And let's be positive. We've been negative for a bit.
So Leeds are at home to Millwall on Sunday. And I guess we'll all
and be Ipswich open. Are at home to Sheffield Wednesday.
Okay. Well, all we can do is hope for the best.
Never thought we'd say this, but we're gonna be a Millwall fan.
I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah.
Well, but look, if you look at the form table, Millwall have won out their last four, they've won three and drawn one.
Okay. It would be very championship.
Yeah. And then Sheffield Wednesday have, despite losing the last match, they'd won three in a row before that. So, and like, I think Ipswich's luck has to stop because they've been very, very lucky with late goals, with
double deflections.
Not getting penalties given to them against them when we played them, all that crap. You know, they've been the late show, haven't they? In terms of goals, Leeds worry all of us at this point. They've actually lost less games than us now.
So, great.
And completed.
Chris, I know you got to take off, buddy. So, is there anything else that you wanted to say before you had to leave us and I'll play our Ollie video as you go?
Talking about the off the pitch news and everything that's going on around that, I would say my opinion to everyone listening is, firstly, don't worry about it. It is what it is. We'll figure it out come the summer. But if you're going to tell me that we can win the league, go to the Champions League, get to the semi-finals of the Europa Conference League, win the FA Cup, fight for top four twice in a season, then get relegated and have all of that as a fan base, and the net result is you start the next season at minus 10, sign me up. I will take that every day of the week. In my opinion, if we do get up next year, which I'm still confident we will, it's only three games, and you see some of that schmuck that's at the bottom of the Premier League at this moment in time. You tell me that if we're not three games better than Everton, Forest, Bournemouth and those lot, then we don't even deserve to be in that league. So I would say to any Leicester fans that are panicking, don't worry about it. We've been through worse. I mean, the Milan Mandarić days of recovery, the whole Emil Heskey, Gary Lineker saving the club. Like, on a scale of one to panic, it's probably a two. But
it's not 2008, guys.
Yeah, exactly. So don't worry. We'll get through it to those that are listed. But huge. I'd also say regarding next, and you guys will probably talk more about the FA Cup game on Sunday. My opinion, it couldn't come at a better time. The fact of the matter is that I would much rather play an FA Cup quarterfinal than have to go through the nervousness and have another championship game next weekend, given the current state of things. And you know what? It would not surprise me, as you said, Matt, the state of the union being Leicester, that we don't go and win on Sunday and end up having another end up having a Wembley semi-final. I mean, yeah.
Beat Chelsea again in the FA Cup. Maybe get another Chelsea coach fired. Why the fuck not? It would literally be the most Leicester shit ever.
It would. So, all right, boys, I'm gonna go on that.
All right, but love you, man. Thank you for joining us. I'll see you on Saturday. I think this is a perfect point as Chris leaves us to present our video from Ollie. It's a bit of a longer one than normal. It's got two matches on it. So at this point, we will send it over to Mr. McLean.
Matt, AUS Foxes, hope all is well. Got a cheeky 2-for-1 for you tonight. With it being Sunderland midweek and then back up north to Hull. 4 points out of six overall. If you said 4 points out of six from them two away games a couple of weeks prior, I would have took that. But coming out of it, 4 points out of six, it's not what we needed. But it's a good 4 points, I think, because we're still top for now. Obviously, Leeds are going to go top when they play, I think it's Millwall, while we're on the... we don't play for Chelsea game in the FA Cup, which I'm looking forward to massively, by the way. But yeah, so don't think we'll be top for much longer, but we can try and regain that at Bristol City. But yeah, Sunderland, cracking game. It was a bit very nervy again. We just love to seem to make it hard on ourselves every single week, which... it's a pain, but it's what we've got to live with being Leicester fans, of course. 1-0 win. It's just so good seeing that man bagging week in, week out still. People saying that he's done, that he's not gonna stay on for another year or two. He's gonna win it. He's gotta. He's clearly not done yet. What's he scored? 15 goals this season or something? 18? Like 37 years of age, he can do what he wants. So yeah. Nice night out in Sunderland. Then soon, very soon came Saturday, going up back up north to Hull. 2-2 in that one. Excuse me, I'm sick of saying it now about the refs, but that ref on the ref on Tuesday was shocking, weren't he, against Sunderland. He gave Sunderland everything, but then didn't give him the one chance that looked like a penalty in real time. But I've seen that back, and it was an awful dive. But he was a crap ref then. We had a shit ref on Sunderland and sat there against Hull. That penalty, I'm 99% sure that he was outside the box. Just gave him everything, gave us not a lot. It obviously gave us a penalty, but he should have given us another penalty. And about 15 more free kicks, but what you can't do much about that, especially with their first goal. With that silly passing around the back, and not silly passing around the back, but making mistakes like that is. I'd like for it to be a wake up call about that, but it's clearly not. It is what it is. But yeah, coming out there with a 2-2 draw, it's a hard place to go. They're a good side. Their fans were loud when they were winning mainly, but. Yeah, it is what it is. Two good away days. Another one ticked off for me, being Hull. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Watching the Mighty Blues knock out Chelsea in the Cup to get to Wembley. What day it's going to be. Matt, see you next week. Cannot wait for that. Can't believe I'm saying that. See you next week. But yeah, up the city.
Yeah, if you could tell from that, it's pretty breaking news, guys. We're gonna have Ollie. The next time you hear Ollie on this show, he will be live with us. So, looking extremely forward to that, and him getting into town next week. And then, so happy for him to be making the trip to London to see us play Chelsea in the FA Cup. I will just jump right into it. Jim seems as appropriate as ever. What are your thoughts heading into this? Here we are. We've found our way into the quarterfinals.
As Ollie said, it's it's a chance to take a break from the league, right? Especially after we're feeling a bit. Ollie's nice spin on it was, hey, we got 4 points in the last two games. So let's think about it like that. But it's not what we need, especially, I think. If we'd have been QPR, I think we'd have been having a very different pod today. But we didn't. We are where we are. I think it's going to be a really tough test. I know Chelsea like have had an up and down season, but I feel like they're sort of seemingly getting a bit better. I watched the highlights from the Newcastle game yesterday, and I think they did pretty well against them actually. And they seem to be sort of getting a bit more in form. Obviously they lost to Liverpool recently, but only 1-0. So look, we can go in and we can just, as long as we kind of go and put in a good performance and we come out with a head held high and we build some confidence for the rest of the season. As Ollie said, if we get to Wembley and we beat them and we get to the semi-final, that's going to be massive. And, you know, we could probably do with less games, but I think no one's going to turn down a trip to Wembley and a run the cup again. You know, and, you know, we won it once, but we know what it tastes like. So we want some more, right? But yeah, early kickoff for you on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, it is, you know, 5:45 on Sunday morning.
Not quite at 4:30 for you like normal. Like some.
No, no, which I'm happy with. 5:45 is not bad, honestly. Yeah, man, I'm with you. I think just what a perfect timing for starters for this to be coming in and a reminder of the kind of club that we are in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Like there has been success, as you know, even though it felt like sometimes that Enzo might've been trying to get us out of this tournament on purpose. Here we are. And I mean, if nothing else, guys, it's a chance to see us play against another Premier League side. This, I was telling some of the San Diego Foxes, this is a win-win for us. I mean, best case scenario, we knock Chelsea out of the fucking cup again and we get to celebrate it. Worst case scenario, we get beat by a team with a quadruple our payroll that we're supposed to lose to. Nobody in the world is giving us a chance. So it's like we're playing with house money here, guys. So I honestly think that it just, let's make a wonderful day. And like you said, at the end of it, there's a chance to get to fucking Wembley. So I think that it's perfect. The timing is great. Why not shock the world? Like I said, it would be the most Leicester thing ever for us to get a result out of this match and continue on and yeah, get to Wembley. I don't know. I'm looking really forward to it. And if you can, guys, wherever you are in the United States, East Coast, 8:45. That is more than doable. And we'll be up loud and proud in San Diego at the Blue Foot at 5:45. Already heard word that some of the Chelsea fucks are going to be making their way to our bar again. And we all know how that ended up for them the last time they played us in the FA Cup, because their bar isn't opening up early enough. So in San Diego, there's about three of the groups, so I'm interested to see which one it is, because they all infight with each other over, you know, who's the real fan. So I'm looking forward to it, Jim. And yeah, I like I said, it's house money. Let's go.
100%, Matt. Yeah, it'll be a fun watch on Sunday morning. And it'll be nice to get away from, like, feeling nervous that we're, like, watching over our shoulder. I'm sure we'll have one eye on what's happening with Leeds, but it might
exactly.
Be it might be nice to not, just not think about it. We can't control what's happening in other games. Let's just enjoy the cup match.
Yeah, and what a better way. If Leeds were to, you know, win and beat Millwall and take first place, I don't think we could have a better retort than to be like, oh, that's nice. Sorry, we were knocking Chelsea out of the FA Cup.
I know, exactly.
And yeah, as Chris alluded to, guys, obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, you've seen all this financial bullshit that's now coming out again about the club. And honestly, I don't have the patience or time this evening to dive into that or the knowledge to do it justice. Plenty of other pods have dove into that. And I honestly don't think that we're going to know anything until, you know, well, frankly, we know anything. So I don't see the point getting worked up over, you know, rumors of what could happen, especially when you're seeing now that the Premier League's going to try and get away from those rules altogether. I don't know. It's just a whirlwind of shit, Jim.
It is. I think it's like, you know, look, I think we're not in a good spot. As Chris said, it's probably not as bad as, you know, it has been previously. I think the only saving grace is going to be, you know, if we've got to get promoted, I think it puts even more pressure on us to do that. Otherwise, I worry about like what will happen next season. You know, but as Chris said, let's not try and think about that. We've got to think positively. We've got to think we're going to go up, because otherwise we're going to lose Enzo. We're going to lose, you know, half, you know, three quarters of the team. And then who knows what will happen after that. And that's a terrifying thought. But, you know, positive mental attitude on those things. And then I think we say, like, if we think about it, it's going to be, you know, we're not the only ones who are in this predicament, right? Everton, they're going to probably struggle again. Forest are going to struggle. Like,
dude, look at United. If United missed Champions League, yeah, like, well, they've already, go down, yeah, the list of fucking teams.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Chelsea as well could not be, not, you know, looking great. So, you know, maybe everyone starts on some sort of negative points.
That's what I'm saying. Or maybe the league just fucking and don't get me started on Man, yeah, City.
Yeah. At least maybe if everyone starts on negative, it means we won't get like, oh, Leicester were the lowest points total ever. By default, we'll be, you know, starting on minus 10.
Yeah.
Have to, yeah, do it. So, you know, let's see what happens on that one. And, you know, we can't really control it for now, right?
Yeah, nothing you can do. Well, one thing we can control, though, is how well we play in these games coming up and in the most stressful part and time of the year. And so all we can hope, and I mean, it's in our hands, guys. And depending on which team shows up week to week, it's going to be, regardless, it's going to be heart in your throat stuff.
Yeah, so it will be. So we'll like, I'm focused on finishing out this season. That's my main concern right now.
Well, so yeah, guys, huge weekend ahead, obviously, wherever you are Sunday, if you can get together with your friends and family or your local Foxes chapter or start one, then what a perfect event to start a new Leicester chapter than to watch us play Chelsea in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. So make sure that you make the effort to get up and watch that game. The boys need it. The boys need you. And yeah, hopefully we can get a crazy result that would just, I don't know, man, that would be one hell of a injection straight into the ass.
It would be amazing.
Oh man. So yeah, guys, then after the Chelsea match, obviously we got Bristol City. So we'll dive into that when we can. Probably on Monday evening, I suppose we'll get that. So yeah, guys, that'll pretty much do it for this edition of the US Foxes podcast. Wanted to give a shout out to listener Keith Ahern. It's his 50th birthday. Happy birthday, brother. Hope you had a good one, and thank you for listening. And yeah, guys, wherever you are, from Kirby Muxlow to Key West, we will see you next time on the US Foxes podcast. Cheers.